Please take your Bibles now if you would like to follow along and turn right to the very middle of our English Bibles to Psalm 117. Psalm 117. I haven't checked this, but someone said that Psalm 117 is the very middle chapter in our Bible. The chapters are not inspired, of course, but if you were to count them out in how most of our English Bibles are structured, apparently Psalm 117 is right in the middle. But this is our focus together tonight, Psalm 117. It's short, but let us give our attention to the living and abiding Word of God together from Psalm 117. Please hear God's Word. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, please enable us to praise you as we hear your word together now. Help us to live for your praise and for all nations to give praise to you. Lord, your steadfast love is great and your faithfulness endures forever. Help us to see that and believe that and rejoice in that as we hear your word. We thank you for Psalm 117, and we pray that you would use it in our hearts and our lives now as a means of grace, as a means to strengthen us and cause us to trust in you and walk with you and serve you and delight in you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes big things come in small packages. Psalm 117 is the smallest psalm. It is the shortest chapter in the Bible, and on first glance, it may seem insignificant, even trite. And yet, while it is simple and compact, it is nothing short of profound, loaded with potential, loaded with truth. Yes, it is small in stature, but it is grand and universal in its scope, crossing time, crossing cultures, borders. It would have once been sung by the relatively small and insignificant nation of Israel in a tiny corner of the globe, but its prophetic call for praise from all nations and all peoples has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled. The worshiping people of God has grown to encompass the whole earth. Men, women, and children from all nations and all peoples. And it is still growing. And even tonight, we are a part of this. And this expansive gospel age where God is calling worshipers from all nations is not over. We are living in this period. We are living in this age, this gospel age, and we too need to submit to this call to praise God and then also turn and call others to praise him as well, people from every nation and language and tribe. The Lord remains most worthy of praise from all peoples. And so tonight, through this short psalm, people of God, God calls you to praise him. To praise the Lord, and also to call others, to call people from all nations to praise him as well. Praise the Lord and call people from every nation to do the same, to join you in worshiping your God. Well, I want to look at this psalm together briefly tonight and simply consider two points as we look at it. I want to consider first the call to praise, And then second, the reasons to praise. The call to praise and then the reasons to praise. So first of all, this call to praise. Notice first how all nations are called to praise the God of Israel. Look again with me at verse 1. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Praise the Lord, all nations. This word nations means Gentiles, non-Israelites, pagan nations, non-Israelite nations. And extol him, all peoples. Peoples are people groups, tribes. Again, non-Israelites, non-Jews. They are all called to praise the Lord. All caps there, as you see it in many of your Bibles. That means the covenant name of God, Yahweh. I am the covenant God of Israel. And one of the fascinating things about this tiny psalm right away is that it's actually addressed to those outside of Israel, beyond the borders of the people of God. And this is fascinating, not only because it's in the Old Testament, but because of where it's situated in the Psalter. Psalm 117 is part of what's called the Egyptian Hallel. This grouping of psalms, Psalm 113 to 118, these psalms were traditionally sung at Passover, and that was where Israel remembered their own national history, their deliverance from Egypt, and their journey into the Promised Land. If anything, it was about how God conquered nations around them and showed them how they were his own special possession. And yet the call here in verse 1, the call to praise, is not primarily addressed to Israel, but to foreign nations. Worship our God. You must worship the God who has saved us and chosen us. This call is addressed to Gentile nations. Why is this? Well, it's because God is not just the God of Israel. Yes, he entered into a special covenant relationship with them. Yes, they were his treasured possession. But his sovereignty and glory was not limited to Israel. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is the creator. And his special relationship with Israel was actually for the purpose of ultimately leading to be able to bless all of the nations. God chose Israel so that he could ultimately bring blessing to the ends of the earth. And so it says here in the opening line, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's an imperative, a command. Praise the Lord, all nations. God has the right to demand honor and worship of all peoples and all nations. Everyone, everywhere has the duty to extol him, to praise him, to bow before him and worship him. And his plan was always to bless and to save people from every nation and every tribe and tongue. Now, of course, that message would not have been popular with the nations around them. And neither is it a popular message today. This is not tolerant. This is not nice. How dare we insist on others worshiping our God? And yet, even though this is rejected, even though peoples and nations rage against this, it is nevertheless the duty of all peoples and all nations to worship the true God. Jesus is the only way of salvation. He is the only hope. He is the only life. He's the only hope and way of salvation for this nation that we live in, for all nations and all peoples. God is the only true God. He's the only one worthy of worship. And we need to live in light of these truths, these realities. We need to make this our prayer and our goal and our expectations that God is calling all peoples and all nations to praise him. They are called to worship our God. And his showing love first to us, his saving us, his saving Israel, is not an end in and of itself. It's for his glory, and it's to spread his glory, and it's to spread the gospel, that we might in turn spread his grace to more and to those who are far off. Well, this psalm is a call to praise the Lord, and this call to praise also has a prophetic role. It pointed forward. It looked ahead to the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles. It's the second thing I want you to see here tonight in this call to praise. It's actually prophetic here in the Old Testament. It's looking forward to the coming of Jesus and to the spread of the gospel. And so it's really a prophetic call to praise. Look again at verse 1. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Did you notice again the scope of this call to praise? It doesn't really leave anyone out. And this universal language is actually common in the Bible. In fact, we encounter it very early on in the Bible. In Genesis 12, with God's covenant with Abraham, he says to Abraham, "In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And the psalmist here in Psalm 117 is anticipating that time, predicting that time when the praise of the true God would go beyond Israel and all families would be blessed and would in turn bless the name of the Lord. And really the whole Old Testament is looking forward to that and anticipating that and preparing for that. As Paul read his Old Testament and his Psalter, he recognized Psalm 117 as being prophetic of this time. Listen to Romans 15, verse 8. He writes, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promise given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written." And then Paul quotes a string of Old Testament texts, including Psalm 117, verse 1, to support his point, to prove that this was God's plan. This was God's intention. This was his announced plan, his prophesied plan, even way back in the Old Testament. And in the context, Romans 15 is encouraging peace and unity. It says, Christ did come for the Jews, yes, but he also came for the Gentiles, that they might be saved and that they might glorify him. And this psalm is looking ahead to that time. It's looking ahead to the gospel age when all nations would hear the good news and respond in faith and in worship. And so this psalm, as it was sung by the Old Testament believer, especially at the time of the Passover when they were looking backwards, this psalm actually would have turned the Old Testament believer's eyes outward and forward, looking out to the nations around them and looking ahead to when God would do this great work of extending the kingdom and extending the gospel to all peoples and nations. Their eyes would have been turned outward and forward. And this psalm ought to do that for our eyes as well. God's plan was not only to bless Israel, but to bless the nations. His covenant of grace was to reach beyond the borders of Israel. You'll see this theme again and again in the prophets, but especially in Isaiah. God spoke of the coming Messiah in Isaiah 49, verse 6, and he said this, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Psalm 117 is looking ahead to that day. It's reaching forward. It's straining ahead, anticipating the coming Messiah and the spread of the gospel, the light of Jesus reaching the ends of the earth. And so this psalm points ahead not just to the gospel age, not just to the mission of the church, but to the gospel itself, to Jesus Christ himself. Really, we should think of him when we hear this psalm, when we sing this psalm. He makes this praise possible. He fulfills this prophecy. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King of nations to whom all praise is due. He's the one that broke down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. He's the one that preached peace to Gentiles. And this psalm looks ahead to him as Messiah and Savior, as the light of the world, rejoices in him, praises him. And God is continuing to fulfill this prophecy here in Psalm 117 as people are brought to faith in the Lord from all over the world and join the growing world-encompassing mass of people worshiping and praising the Lord. And I've mentioned this already, but this is true of us gathered to praise God here together tonight from so many different national and people group backgrounds. We are living proof that God is fulfilling his promises, that his word is going out, that his gospel is accomplishing salvation and making worshipers out of those who once were rebels against him. Are you a part of this people, this worshiping people of God, the universal church? Not just physically by being here, but spiritually. By faith, are you part of the praising people of God? Are you part of this great work? Well, that is the prophetic call to praise that we see here in this short psalm. We also see here God calls people to praise him for good reason. This is not just an arbitrary wish. He is worthy of all praise, and Psalm 117 gives us a few reasons for that. And so I want us to consider, second tonight, the reasons to praise. The reasons to praise. Listen again to verse 2. After saying, "Praise the Lord, all nations," verse 2. "For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Kids, do you hear in that verse two reasons for why we should praise God and why nations and peoples should praise him? It's because of what he's done for Israel, it's because of what he's done for God's people, and because of who he is, because of his steadfast love and his faithfulness. It's short and simple, and yet it is packed and profound. First of all, praise him because of his steadfast love towards us. Us is God's people. Originally, Israel. Not yet those nations out there. His steadfast love towards us. And steadfast love is one word in the original, and it's a covenantal word. This love is reserved for those he's in loving covenant relationship with. Faithful, gracious, committed relationship. This love is reserved for his people. This is a saving love, a saving grace. Think of the bond and love between a husband and a wife. They certainly love others. They might love their children. They love friends. But there's a special committed love that they have towards their spouse. Well, God's love is like that, but it's better. It's a special love reserved for his own people. But it's also a perfect love, a gracious love, a love to those who do not deserve it. It is a free love, a saving love. And it never fails. It's steadfast. This is how God relates to his people. This is how God relates to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, with steadfast, committed love. And verse 2 says his steadfast love is great towards us. It's great towards us. Literally, it's increased. It's strengthened. His love prevails. This word is used of the, the stronger side in a battle. His love conquers. They had been overcome and conquered by the strength of God's love. He chose them. He redeemed them out of Egypt. He gave them a law. He gave them a land. He gave them his word. He gave them promises to be their God and to forgive their sins and to send them a Savior, to send the Messiah, to give them eternal life. And friends, God is still overcoming and conquering sinners with his love today. To redeem great sinners, it takes great love. Overcoming, conquering love, the love of God. And so he is most worthy of praise. You respond to such love, with loving him and praising and worshiping him. Well, the second reason God is worthy of praise that's mentioned here in Psalm 117, praise from all peoples and nations, is because his faithfulness endures forever. Or some of your translations might say, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Truth or faithfulness, those are both fitting words. God himself is true. He is faithful. He's never changing. All he says is faithful and true. He's always faithful to his word. His word is true. His steadfast love is always faithful. It'll never stop. It'll never fail. We are unfaithful. We're always failing, always wavering. But God is firm and faithful. He's true forever, and we need to be reminded of this again and again. It's further reason to praise him. It's further reason for all nations to worship this God. And these two reasons hardly scratch the surface of why God should be praised. But they're two noteworthy reasons. They're often paired in Scripture. They're significant ones. They go together and they really summarize for us the gospel. God loves and saves undeserving sinners. He promises eternal life through Jesus. And his promise, his word is true. He is faithful. All who believe in Jesus, all who call on the name of Christ, will be saved. They will be kept by their loving, faithful God. He is faithful to forgive our sins and give us eternal life. And the proper response, the obvious response to all of this is to fall down before him in worship, to praise him, to believe, to rejoice, to worship. But it doesn't stop there. It must also propel you to pass this on, to want others to know and to praise your God, to call them to praise as Psalm 117 does. Think about it. If he's really conquered you with his love through Jesus Christ, if you really know his enduring truth and faithfulness, then it ought to drive you to bow down and worship first yourself, but also to call others to do the same. You see, the call to nations to praise the Lord here in Psalm 117 is really anchored in the covenant grace and character of God. The singers of this song are calling those around them to praise because they knew who their God was and what he'd done for them and what he could do for the nations of the world, what he could do for those around them. And that moved them, to love those beyond them and those who are apart from God. And friends, if you are going to call others to praise your God as you should, you and I need to marvel at his glory, the glory of his character and what he's done for you. Marvel at his truth, his steadfast love and faithfulness, his gospel, what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. and not grow weary in our wonder at these things. Well, Psalm 117 really ends the way it started in verse 2. Hallelujah. And this is the central main point. But I want you to notice the simplicity of it. Praise the Lord. It's actually one word in Hebrew, a compound word, but it's a simple command. It's not complicated. It's direct and to the point. Praise the Lord. And yet it is so deep and profound and far-reaching. It has enormous, vast ramifications for ourselves and for everyone alive in this world. It permeates every pore of life. It ought to energize you and guide your priorities and commitments, praising the Lord and calling others to do the same. Well, that's Psalm 117, the shortest psalm, the shortest chapter in the Bible. And as we close tonight looking at Psalm 117, I mentioned at the beginning that this psalm is part of the group of psalms, the Egyptian Hallel, Psalm 113 through 118. These psalms were sung at the Passover. And because of that, it's very likely that Psalm 117 was one of the very last songs Jesus sang before he went to the cross. And I want you to think of Jesus singing this psalm. Picture him singing it. He would have had it memorized. It's easy to memorize this short psalm. But picture him singing these words as he anticipated his coming suffering and death, the cross. Singing this psalm as he looked ahead to the cross, the greatest act of God's steadfast love and faithfulness, achieving salvation for the nations. And he knew what he would soon do. He knew that that would be proclaimed to the ends of the earth, to all nations. It would be the means of their salvation. It would be the source of their praise. He knew those people from many different nations who would one day answer this call to praise, who would believe in him and join his people in praising God for his love and faithfulness. We really can't sing this psalm. We can't think about the gospel, the love and faithfulness of God apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. We can't picture the nations praising the Lord apart from Jesus' atoning death and victorious resurrection and his ascension to his throne in heaven. And for this praise to occur, for his love to be great towards us, for his faithfulness to endure forever, he had to suffer and die. He had to lay down his life. He had to go and endure the cross. And that is what he has done. And that is why we have reason to praise and to call all nations to praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you are those he died for, if your faith is in him. You are those who he had in his mind as he went to the cross and as he sang the words of this psalm, even though you are hundreds of years removed from that, thousands of miles away in a far distant nation. His love has conquered you. He has been faithful and true, and he will never stop. And so give praise to him. Rejoice in him. Have life in him. And seek to spread this good news, his gospel, his praise to the ends of the earth. People of God, this small psalm gives you a big charge. It charges you with this great calling and privilege until Jesus Christ returns, and that is for yourself to praise the Lord and then also to call people from every nation to praise him as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this gem of a psalm that we can quickly pass over And yet, Lord, what it speaks of is so glorious because it speaks to us of Jesus Christ, who is calling a people from every tribe and nation and tongue to praise him, calling them to life by his gospel, by that love, that steadfast love which he displayed on the cross. And so, Lord, we ask that each and every one here tonight and many, many more would praise the Lord, would know and believe your steadfast love and faithfulness, and that in turn they might be a witness to the ends of the earth, that all nations would bow before King Jesus and have life in him and have reason to praise you. Lord, do this not for us, but for your name and for your glory and your praise. We do pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.